Glad you could make it along today. I'm Mark Bayshore. At the top of the program, anticipation is building for the Republican and Democratic national conventions. Both are coming up this month. As the gatherings near, efforts to unite both parties persist. Those efforts are nonetheless playing out amid reports of a Republican effort to stop likely nominee Donald Trump. And both frontrunners will soon be announcing their vice presidential candidates. To help us understand all of that and more, we welcome back Matt Grossman. Matt's an associate professor of political science here at Michigan State. And Matt's next book is due out next month, by the way. It's called Asymmetric Politics, Ideological Republicans and Group Interest Democrats. Matt Grossman, good to see you.
Good morning.
The GOP convention is the week after next. Just yesterday, the Wall Street Journal reported on one last push by anti-Trump Republicans to free up delegates to back whoever they want, unbinding them from Donald Trump. This is a behind-the-scenes long shot, according to the story in the Wall Street Journal, and we've been hearing about scenarios like this. What do you think of this possibility?
There's a lot more intrigue than usual, but this isn't likely to change the outcome. Trump will be the Republican nominee. The way the rules are set up currently, they allow people to, however people vote, their votes are going to be recorded as they were elected in primaries and caucuses. So there may be a conscience exemption that allows a few people to formally not vote for Trump, but it won't change the outcome. Mm.
Well, the numbers, not just from the Wall Street Journal story, but from other sources, suggest that this effort could clear the first hurdle. And it all boils down to the RNC's Rules Committee. If a quarter of the Rules Committee supports the idea of unbinding the delegates, then it would apparently put it in front of the entire convention. That's 28 people, and I guess the head count is at about, I don't know, they've done a couple of head counts. It's around 20 right now.
We could possibly have a full convention vote. I don't think it would succeed. I think it's much more likely that the compromise will be that individual delegates can have their votes recorded as being against Trump, but not changing the overall delegate totals.
Well, it gets one to thinking, though, whether the calculus might change if it clears that first hurdle. If the 28 members of the Rules Committee vote to do that, are delegates who are preparing to back Trump apt to reconsider their options if it clears that first hurdle? What do you think? I guess it's a psychological question here.
Well, it's fun for us to play out the scenarios, but the bottom line is that there's not support for anyone else to be the nominee, and the problem all along has been you can't beat somebody with nobody, and there hasn't been anybody that has majority support in the delegates other than Trump. So Trump will remain the nominee, whatever the rules changes are.
What do you make of Donald Trump's inability to unite the GOP?
Well, the electorate is actually uniting fairly quickly. He has high levels of support among Republicans in the electorate, comparable to Mitt Romney at a similar period. So it's really the elites that are slow to come on board, although they are doing so slowly. There are still more holdouts among elected officials than is usual at this time. But, of course, Trump is a very unconventional nominee, so that shouldn't be too surprising.
We'll return to the Republicans here in just a minute, but I want to ask you about the impact that this week had the FBI's not recommending charges to be filed against Hillary Clinton on the server issue. What impact or impacts do you think that may have?
Well, the short-term impact is negative for Hillary Clinton. It's another reminder that voters see her as untrustworthy and that the FBI chief has given them new reasons to do so. But in the long term, it's good news for Hillary Clinton. She won't have the cloud of a possible indictment over her for the campaign, and the issue is mostly resolved at this point. So it'll be a bad couple of days for her in news, but for the general election, it's overall a good sign for Hillary Clinton.
Short-term bad news, longer-term better news. It's interesting to parse the response among Democrats, especially among Sanders supporters. One Sanders supporter from Ohio, Mr. Guy Smith, posted on Facebook, quote, "We are entitled to oust Clinton and demand Bernie as our Democratic choice in light of the corruption FBI Director Comey exposed Clinton on Demand It at the convention. What could, how do you think that could play out in Philadelphia?
Well, some people never give up, but that was true last time as well of some Clinton supporters at the convention who wanted to not give up on Obama being the nominee. So I don't expect a lot of intrigue at the Democratic convention. I expect Bernie Sanders to endorse her before then. Bernie Sanders, people who voted for Bernie Sanders in the primary are very likely to end up voting for Hillary Clinton in the general election. And levels of support for Clinton among Sanders supporters are already higher than were levels of support among Clinton supporters for Obama at this period in 2008.
Mm. Very interesting to compare those general elections. It's still interesting, though, on Reddit, according to a story in the New York Times, one Reddit user wondered, why isn't Bernie saying more about this? Quote, the director of the FBI has given so much ammunition. I have to ask, Matt, if you were advising the Sanders campaign, would you advise them to make more out of the FBI investigation?
Yes, I think it was not at this point, it's too late, but I think it was a critical mistake for him to intervene in that debate and say he was tired of hearing about it since it was one of people's primary concerns about Hillary Clinton and reinforced all the negative personal attributes that she has in public opinion, that she was untrustworthy, that she was out for herself. So it was a chance to advance all of those storylines, and he decided not to go for that.
We are updating what's happening in the U.S. presidential race ahead of this month's conventions. Our guest is MSU Associate Professor of Political Science, Matt Grossman. Matt also heads up IPSR, the Institute for Public Policy and Social Research here at Michigan State, and his next book is due out next month. Let's also update this dance going on between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Mr. Sanders appears to be, well, he's taken his time, I guess, to formally get behind her. That is expected soon, from what I understand, maybe at an appearance in New Hampshire next week. But all the while here, he is trying to influence the party platform. Do you expect the platform that emerges from Philadelphia to really noticeably include any of Senator Sanders' issues or priorities?
Well, he's already gotten something out of waiting. Hillary Clinton has changed her position in his direction on higher education, promising a free higher education in-state tuition. With a similar implementation as Sanders' plan. And very explicitly, Clinton said that she was borrowing from Sanders' plan because of talks with Sanders. So that's a success. I don't expect too many additional changes. The platform is pretty much done at this point. So he's gotten what he can get, and it sounds like he's ready to endorse.
The new Clinton proposal also, according to reports, would offer free tuition at public schools to students and families earning $85,000 a year or less at first, and that threshold increasing to $125,000. It would also feature a three-month grace period for students to refinance their loans.
Right, so that second part could actually be implemented directly by Clinton in the executive branch, so that's important. The first part would require a lot of action from state legislatures that might not be forthcoming.
The Detroit News reported yesterday to get back to Donald Trump here, the Detroit News reported yesterday that Trump's political organization has only one full-time staffer right now in the state of Michigan. The story said that Hillary Clinton is prepared to deploy as many as 200 field staff soon here in our state. How important is that staff? How important are those resources?
Well, we have evidence that numbers of field offices matter for turnout and general election outcomes, and that paid staff also can make a difference in vote counts.
How exactly? Connect the dots there.
Well, it's mostly through voter contact. We find that the more you are contacted by the campaigns, the more you're likely to turn out and to some extent support that candidate. They make a difference, but there's always some differentiation on the numbers. The Republican Party always claims that its numbers are undercounted because the Democrats count party staff differently than candidate staff. But the bottom line is that Clinton will have a lot more on-the-ground people than Trump.
Yeah. The Trump campaign's approach is apparently to forego hiring staff to work the state and to get out the vote. Instead, it will authorize the Republican National Committee to organize a staff for the campaign. Here in Michigan, the news story citing 34 RNC staff to be assigned to Michigan, 7 from the state organization. What do you make of that approach? Why this approach?
Well, I'm not sure it's an approach so much as just what's left. If he doesn't have his own campaign organized in Michigan, he'll have to rely on the party regulars. But it's always tough to know how many of those people would have been here anyway and how many are actually being assigned to help the Trump campaign. I think in the end, Hillary Clinton will have a massive advantage both in advertising and in on-the-ground field operations, really unparalleled in contemporary political history. Mm. This big of a difference between the major party candidates. Mm.
I take it hired staff also will play a role in getting out the vote for down-ticket contests. There's been a lot of talk about that. What do you see there?
Absolutely. The presidential election is our highest turnout election, and it's swing states generally have turnout that ends up being 5 or 6 percentage points higher. So that makes a big difference to down party candidates. And it also matters how many times people are contacted, whether they turn out.
You expect a lot of robocalls?
Well, we actually don't have evidence that robocalls are helpful, but that hasn't deterred people from calling us regularly.
No kidding.
With those robocalls. But we've actually found that a personal conversation makes a lot bigger difference. Having people actually call people live or show up at your door makes a bigger difference for turnout.
Professor Matt Grossman is our guest. Matt's an associate professor here at Michigan State in the Department of Political Science. Now, we'll be hearing more vice presidential chatter here in the next few days. How important is the VP selection in Trump's case, for starters?
Well, vice presidential selections are usually overrated for their potential impact on the election. They can at times be very important for governance, of course.
I'm wondering, though, with two candidates with as high a negatives as they both have, if whether or not the vice presidential selection might be of greater relevance this year. Is that possible?
Well, but we also have two very strong and well-known personalities at the top of the ticket, so it'll be hard for the vice presidential candidates to dominate voter decision-making. I think people will look to see if the vice presidential candidates are competent. We do have some evidence that vice presidential candidates can move home state voters if they're very popular there, so that may be a reason for Hillary to pick someone from Ohio or Virginia. But we don't have a lot of evidence that people vote on vice presidential nominees.
Indeed, one candidate for Hillary Clinton is from Ohio, Senator Sherrod Brown. Remind our listeners here who is on the short list for Trump. I'm seeing here Chris Christie, Newt Gingrich, Joni Ernst of Iowa, and Mike Pence of Indiana. Any thoughts on those choices?
Right. Well, Joni Ernst has sort of taken herself out of consideration or made moves in that direction. So if I had to guess now, I'd guess Newt Gingrich. He's well positioned with Trump in demeanor, and he's been loyal to him, but Christie has been as well, and Mike Pence is sort of a more traditional vice presidential pick. So mm-hmm. any of those are possible, and he's actually having them out on the trail to give them a chance to show their stuff.
I have to ask you about the scene last week. We had Secretary Clinton and Senator Elizabeth Warren appearing in Cincinnati. That had a lot of Democrats really fired up. Some number of them would no doubt would love to see Warren as the vice presidential selection. Is that possible? Is that likely? What do you think?
It's possible if they decide to go for buzz over anything else, then they could pick Warren. But it doesn't seem very likely to move any voter groups who aren't already strongly on Clinton's side.
It appears the others on the short list for Senator Clinton, Tim Kaine, Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown, Labor Secretary Thomas Perez, Elizabeth Warren, and Senator Cory Booker was talked about there for a while as well. Also, California Congressman Xavier Becerra, also on that list. Any other? Where should she go here? What do you think?
Well, it seems like she's thinking about nominating a Latino vice president. She has three potential nominees on the list from that voter group. But it seems mostly like she'll go for a swing state, well-known individual, and might end up being a fairly boring pick, but one that'll give her some strength in governing.
What, how closely do you follow the polling here? I see the New York Times. The Times calculates a national polling average. Yesterday, it showed a 4 percentage point lead for Hillary Clinton, 43% to 39%. How do you view these polls?
Well, they're actually fairly predictive at this point, right before the conventions. But you're about to see some changes because both conventions tend to give momentary bumps to each candidate. So you'll likely see some ups and downs in coming weeks. But the big my big takeaway from those numbers, 43-39, is that there's still a lot of people who are claiming to be undecided, and that includes people who have voted for Democrats or Republicans four elections in a row. And we pretty much know how they're going to vote. So a lot of those people claiming to be undecided, it's pretty clear how they're going to end up voting.
Always fun to talk to you, Matt. We want to thank our guest, Associate Professor of Political Science here at Michigan State, Matt Grossman. His new book is due out next month, Asymmetric Politics, Ideological Republicans and Group Interest Democrats. Matt Grossman, thank you.
Thank you.